Have you ever been in a situation where all you can do is to pray and keep praying and keep praying and keep asking and keep requesting? Probably in a state of shock, probably at a point where you feel like giving up, really giving up. If you're anything like most of us, we often think of prayer as a last resort, don't we? I'm proposing to each and every one of us today that we should think of prayer as the first response as opposed to being the last resort. Today would have been the 70th birthday of my brother Michael, who was lost to cancer just over 2 years ago. And I recall that in the time leading up to his death, our entire family gathered around to support him in whatever way we could, especially after we were told that there was no medical solution for his situation. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the doctors have said, we've done all we could. And I remember clearly that one of the things we did together was to pray. Every time we had a conversation or met with each other, we prayed. In our quiet moments, we prayed. We prayed for our brother's return to health, hoping that God would intervene despite the medical diagnosis. We continued to pray and to plead. And we were naturally disappointed when our desire for our brother to be healed was not in keeping with God's will for him or for us. I don't know if you've had similar situations. And you probably know about situations where people who persevered while placing their trust in God, how their persistence had a positive outcome for them, changed their lives, and probably the lives of others. And I look back over the time when we were praying for my brother and recognize that our plea for God's grace and for God's mercy are consistent with the approach taken by many of us who go to God when we are in need. And we often neglect to go in gratitude for what God has done. In today's gospel reading, we are told of the determination of the woman who was seeking fair treatment. And in this excerpt from Luke's gospel, Jesus tells the parable of a terrible judge who is worn down by a widow's pleas. For a while, the judge refused to give her justice, but he eventually gives in and grants her wishes. And one might argue that this is a lesson for each and every one of us, that we must continue asking, we must continue in prayer, we must be determined, and we must not lose heart. And I would imagine that these are words of encouragement and reassurance for all who endeavor to be faithful. So why be diligent in prayer? Why do we continue praying and asking? Three thoughts for your consideration. First of all, our habits of prayer and scripture reading help us to remain connected to God in our relationship with Him. So why not make a special effort to be faithful in prayer? Now, I don't know about you, but I find that first thing in the morning is the most appropriate time for me to pray. Why? Because I find that as soon as I hit my desk here at the church and check my emails, my agenda might be set not by me, but by circumstances beyond my control. So my preference really is to pray first thing in the morning. And you might have your time that's better for you. Some people pray at evenings when they can reflect on the day and thank God for all that has happened. So why not carve out a time that's good for you and make a deliberate effort to go to God in prayer? Let us be faithful in prayer and in scripture reading so that our relationship with God and with each other might flourish. So first of all, let us be diligent in prayer. Secondly, let us place a priority on doing what we find is worthy in God's sight. Let us be determined. Just as the woman in the gospel sought fairness from an unjust judge, whatever we think is inherently good and inherently useful, let us place those as priorities in our lives. And third, let us proclaim the good news of our risen Lord, for that is what Paul's instruction to Timothy is all about. And in the second lesson read by Max, you would have heard these words from Paul to Timothy. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. Persistence. Endurance. Let us continue. Let us keep going and never give up. These are some of words that are attributed to Sir Winston Churchill, the English statesman, and in one of his speeches, he ended up rallying the troops by saying, never give up, never give up, never, never, never give up. And many in the room are familiar with that speech, and if you're not, it's worth listening. Let us persist to get better. We persist, we continue in order to get better, to hone our skills. As we speak, there are many gathered on the waterfront this morning for the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. And if you've ever run a marathon or tried running a marathon, you'd know that it takes lots of practice. I never made it to the marathon. In my days in school, I attempted to do what was then called a steeplechase. And I think they had to help me along the way. I considered myself a sprinter. I didn't make it then either, but at least in my mind, I was a sprinter. Nevertheless, if you ever tried running a marathon, you would know that it's not only physical determination, but also mental determination. And you need both physical and mental toughness to keep going. And in fact, if it is our desire to excel in any area of life, we need to continue. We need to get better. It needs continuous practice. And in business, some people call it continuous improvement, but that's another conversation. Now, you might be aware, if you follow athletics, that some of the most celebrated long-distance runners are from the East African country of Kenya. And on our recent mission trip to Kenya, as our bus made its way through the lonely hillsides and long stretches of road in the countryside, and it was a long ride, so I was taking a little nap. Our guide caught my attention when he announced that this is the place where potential long-distance runners are dropped off and left to build up their stamina as part of their training. Now, that got my attention, so I looked through the window of the bus, and what I saw was nothing except little winding roads in a deserted area. I went back to sleep, and I never remembered to ask him about the details, but my guess is that they were dropped off there not only for physical training, but also for mental toughness. And we too must find dedicated time and space to get better in the vocation to which we are called. So first of all, endurance is important to get better. Secondly, it is important to open the way for a blessing and a breakthrough from God, a blessing from God and a breakthrough. The widow was not discouraged, and we too must keep on making our requests and recognize that a delay is not a denial, because everything happens in God's own time. And as we look around this worship space today, I am grateful to the people who conceived this idea. I am grateful that you did not quit when the city rezoned the area. I am grateful that you did not quit when plans were turned down by the diocese. I am grateful that you did not quit when construction ran a little late. I am happy that you did not quit when you were worshiping at St. Patrick's and in Cain's funeral home. I am grateful that you continued and you opened the way for God to bless this place, for a blessing and a breakthrough. So we continue to learn and to grow. We continue to receive God's blessing. And thirdly, we continue to show that we are genuine, serious, and faithful in what we do and in the requests that we make. The parable encourages us to continue advocating for what we believe in. And you might be aware that just recently a number of Anglican priests were arrested right here in downtown Toronto. And you might know one of the priests who was arrested, Reverend Andrea Budgie. She served as a student here some years ago. And they were arrested for standing up for what they thought was right. And we know from Scripture that God has persistently given special attention to those who are most vulnerable. And perhaps this is a strong message to the church to stay focused on outreach, to stay focused on encouraging and supporting the less fortunate in society. Our walk of faith is a long journey, and perseverance is necessary, even though we may face the same discouragement as the early believers to whom this message was originally addressed. For like them, we serve a faithful God who offers us the invitation and encouragement to pray without ceasing, confident of his desire to respond. And in all of this, we must express our gratitude, respond in persistent prayer, persistent service, and in proclaiming the word of God. We keep going, naturally. We keep going. And we are encouraged by the words of Paul to Timothy, urging him to continue in the faithful teaching of Scripture. And let us also remain committed to our Christian ideals, despite concerns, anxieties, or fears. For we know that we serve a living God who is always with us through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. You might be familiar with this excerpt. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. I recently came across this quote attributed again to Sir Winston Churchill. Words of encouragement to persevere. Words of encouragement to continue. And I must say that, like the widow, we should pray and petition without ceasing and not lose heart, confident that God's justice will in time prevail. We must pray persistently because we need to connect consistently with God. Whether we are concerned about violence, poverty, whether we are concerned about seeking truth amid a barrage of different teachings, or advocating for a more caring and just society. We need persistent prayer for a consistent connection with God. Persistent prayer gives us hope to carry on, because God invites us to keep in touch with Him so that we can faithfully follow and successfully serve Him. So, some thoughts in summary. Let us do our best to strengthen our faith, whatever ways and means by which we do that. And we've talked very quickly about prayer, about scripture reading. Let us find ways to strengthen our belief. And let us pray and don't lose heart. Let us express gratitude. And let us keep on going with courage. To persist in prayer until the answer comes means keeping our request before God as we live for Him each day, always believing that He will answer. And we know from experience that God doesn't necessarily answer our specific requests. And sometimes we are disappointed. Sometimes we are looking for another answer. But when we live in faith, we do not give up. And as we persist in prayer, we grow in our character, we develop a strong faith, and we continue to hope. So in closing, may I suggest that prayer is just one aspect of our life of faith. The other part of our life of faith is action. Pray and act. The persistent widow in Jesus' parable offers us a model of prayer. But I'm suggesting three things that we can do. First of all, I'm suggesting that we can, like the Good Samaritan, we can love sacrificially. We can open our hearts to love and to serve each other. Love sacrificially. Secondly, I'm suggesting that we can continue to proclaim the gospel in whatever way we are comfortable. And that means different things to different people. I don't know about you, but quite often I would hear the doorbell ring and there would be someone standing in front of the door. And there are still some denominations that go door to door. We might not necessarily agree with what they're presenting to us. We might have other ideas, but they're doing what they believe is their proclamation of the gospel. I have a lot of admiration for people who go door to door. And that's not for everyone, but in whatever way we are comfortable, we need to continue proclaiming the gospel, not just by words, but by our actions. Thirdly, we as a church must continue to be reinforced by the power of the Holy Spirit, lead by example, and encourage others to follow Christ. You must be aware that we have a series on making disciples to engage us in some conversations around how we at St. George and Young can, in a very practical way, nurture our own faith and encourage others in their walk with Christ. My sisters and my brothers in Christ, let us continue to pray and let us continue to act. And may we, as we continue to discern God's will for us, be faithful in all that we think, and all that we say and all that we do. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for giving us hope. Help us to consistently connect with you so that we can persistently serve you with all our hearts. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.